Great to see you, Purpose Church. So glad that you're joining us here online. I think we're going to have a lot of fun today. I'm starting a September series that we're doing called The Race Marked Out for Us. Now, this Sunday is different from any other Sunday since I became a pastor 47 years ago and a lead pastor 43 years ago. This one's going to be different. The title of our study is The Seven Favorites. Now, for those of you that are new to Purpose Church, I love to share video clips in order to illustrate biblical principles. I don't use as many online as I do at our in-person services because of copyright issues, but I still use them when I can, and today is one of those days. Pastors using video clips in their sermons went out of style in churches about 15 years ago, but I never got that memo, and so I still use them regularly. Now, it's become a running joke here at Purpose that when I use a video clip, I almost always say, this one is my favorite. So since I'm retiring at the end of this month, I thought it would be fun to share my actual seven favorite clips, but I couldn't narrow it down to just seven. So I've actually found a way to share my favorite 14 clips. Actually, I'm cheating. It's actually more like 16. But at any rate, right now, what I'm going to do, here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to share my seven favorite clips of those clips that we have permission to show online. So my seven favorite of those type. And then at our in-person services, I'm going to share my seven favorite clips of those clips that we have permission to show in person. So seven here online and a different seven in person. Now, I will do each set of seven from seven to one. So my last clip will be my all-time favorite. I would like to thank Pete Wilson, Kyle Hart, Kareen Bradney, and our entire media team for giving me this tool for the past 22 years. So let's get going. The first biblical principle is this. Number seven, we are better together. We are better together, which is one of our core values here at Purpose Church. Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. Either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they'll keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Let's watch this together. Now that is a great commercial for our life groups here at Purpose Church, and they are starting a week from today. A week from today, go to purposechurch.com/groups for more information, because you shouldn't run alone. Here at Purpose Church, we run together. We run in groups, and so hope you'll consider connecting with one of those. Number six on the list is miscommunication. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about proper communications. Proverbs 18, verse 21, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. James 1, 19, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Proverbs 10, 19, too much talk leads to sin. That kind of hurts my feelings, you know what I mean? I have one gift, that is to talk long enough that people want me to stop. Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Proverbs 12, verse 18, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Proverbs 16, verse 24, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. And then Proverbs 13, verse 3, those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin. Now, here are two examples of poor communication, and tied for number six on my list of favorites. Let's watch this.
Das hier ist mein Sektor.
Das hier ist das wichtigste Gerät des Küstenwächters.
Das Gerät und das Gerät.
Überlebensradar.
Mayday, Mayday. Hello, can you hear us? Can you hear us? Can you... Okay, over. We are sinking. We are sinking.
Hallo? This is the German Coast Guard.
We are sinking. We're sinking.
What are you thinking about?
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me. And I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head, and it's relentless, and I don't know if it's gonna stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever gonna stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen.
No, see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like there's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
Yeah, that sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Oh, come on, ow. If you would just-
Don't!
Number five on the list. Found people find people, another one of our core values here at Purpose. Found people find people. John chapter 1, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon. So he was found, and now his first assignment is to go find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. When we adopted our son John, and he later came to Christ, he just had this burning desire, even when he was a little boy, because he had been found by Jesus, and he had this desire to find his birth family, even though it would be like finding a needle in a haystack, and share Christ with them. This is his story.
I am from Cali, Colombia, adopted from the orphanage there. And I was placed in the orphanage when I was 2 years old, and I lived there for 5-6 years. And then during my time with the foster families, I was eventually adopted by Pastor Glenn and Kimberly Gunderson, and have been living with them for the past 20 years. Back in 2009, I graduated from the Bible school in Lima, Peru. And during my time at the Bible College, I felt the Lord was just putting on my heart to go back to Colombia and minister to the people of Cali. I graduated and my family came down. We talked and we just said, hey, this is what I want to do. I want to go back to Cali and look for my birth family. And my family and I, we've been talking about this for a long time. We've been praying about it, and we just felt so right, like this was the time that God was presenting for us. So after my family left to go back to the States, I made my trip for Cali. As we get out of the bus, we came in contact with three pastors who we already had asked to meet us up there. We were searching Tuluá, and I kid you not, within 15 minutes of our search, we came to the right exact location where all my family was living. One of the pastors asked if he knew Luz Lambana, and Luz is my mom. To my amazement, the guy said, you know what, Luz and all her family lives about 4 houses down, and they should all be there right now. And at this point in time, I'm starting to tremble, I'm starting to just get excited, but at the same time, just I don't know what's going to happen. So we just allow the Spirit to lead, and we keep driving down. We stop the car, and the pastor goes and introduces himself to the lady that we had come across. And then the pastor said, my name was Juan Carlos Ceballos. And when the lady heard this name, she just started weeping. She introduces herself and says that I'm your aunt. And at that point in time, I just started to just break down because I'd found one of my birth family. And I started to embrace her and just hug her and just take her into my arms and just say, tell her my story, what I've been doing, and that I'd come to find any of my birth family. My aunt told me that my mom lived right behind us. At this point, just all sorts of different family came from just all over the place. I had my cousins, my other aunts and uncles. I met quite a few of my brothers, and I had one sister that I met. Maybe a half an hour later, my mom was coming down the street, and I just saw her coming down the street with a little kid in her arm. I was walking down the road, and I was just thinking all these thoughts, like, how's she gonna react? What is she gonna say? Is she gonna accept me? All these different things. But I just allowed the Spirit to just calm me down, and I looked her in the eye, and I said, my name is Juan Carlos Ceballos, my name at this given time. And she just took me in her arms, and we embraced, and we just started crying, and we walked away from people that were behind us, and we just started walking down back towards everybody else. And we just had a good time just for a couple hours, just getting to know one another. And also, I wanted to let my family all know that I was a Christian, that I was saved, and that I wanted them to know the good news. So the pastors were able to evangelize and witness to all the family members that I had met that day. My birth brother and some of my cousins and some of my aunts and uncles that had come to the Lord that day. My dad, I met a week later because my brother had called my dad and said that his son was looking for him. I just looked at him and I had compassion on him because this man had gone through a lot. This man had lost many of his children. This man is part of what brought me into this world, and I felt so much love for him, even though I never laid eyes on him or met him. But at that moment in time, I just felt compassion on him and just love for him. I told him my story. After about an hour and a half or so of talking with him, he came to know the Lord. So it was just a wonderful story how God just allowed me to meet all my family and allowed for many of them to come to Christ.
Found people, find people. And that was actually, I didn't mention at the beginning, that's in Colombia, South America. Number four, moms and dads. All right, my favorite genre or type of video clip has been those that honor moms and dads. Parenting is so hard, and it is so challenging and so exhausting that anything we can do to encourage the moms and dads of our church, that's like a good thing. So I love Mother's Day and Father's Day because of the great videos that are made for that day. Proverbs 17, verse 6 says, "Grandchildren are the crowning glory of the aged. Parents are the pride of their children." Now, there's a perfect verse for today because Sunday, September 8th, is Grandparents' Day. So here is my favorite Mother's Day video, followed by my favorite Father's Day video.
This goes out to all the baby mamas and all the baby mamas' mamas. If you've ever changed a diaper, kissed a boo-boo, or made a sack lunch, this one's for you. We run this. Let's go.
Straight out of Walmart.
I'm a mama with an attitude. Stirring up the sweet tea with the ice cubes.
Whipping in the kitchen so you know we be grubbing. Gotta stay fresh, whole house, got the plug-ins. Dinner on the stove, cookies in the oven. Hands off the food till it's done, I ain't bluffing.
Hugs, kisses, coughs, third makes it better. When my kids get sick, I'm the illest caregiver. Got the cold, cough, fever, or sweat. I got the Vicks Vapor Rub to rub on their chest.
This ain't daycare, this is real as it gets. I'm a M-O-M, don't you ever forget.
This girl's on fire, type of girl I admire. This girl's on fire,
she's hot. My kids go hard in the paint.
In the paint.
From the window to the wall, what you think?
What you think? Diaper bag.
Check.
Spit rack.
Check.
Got a chain on my neck, I'm like aerosol.
Are you laced up?
Not is a Velcro.
Are those Jordans?
Not is a Elmo.
Little shorty rolling in the car seat stack. Got the seatbelts on, my whole crew is strapped.
Cruising down the street and my baby throws a tantrum. Got my mama face cause I know he don't want none. 4, 3, 2, into the one. When my counting is done, it's time out,
this
son.
This girl's on fire, type of girl I admire. This girl's on fire,
later, 20 pounds heavier, back at it again, check me.
Still rocking the docks, tall socks and Crocs. Got some gray in the goat, call me Silver Fox.
Got that ornamental turtle, steaks on the Weber. 10 years later, looking better than ever.
I'm a middle class hustler. When it comes to saving money, I'm a buster. Keep an iron grip on that thermostat. When we leave the house, I'ma crank it up to 80.
I don't spend a dime on those name brands. Spent the last 10 years in the same pants. Got that meal plan, you know I'm saving the bunch. Brown bagging for the fam every day for lunch.
Eat up.
I've been working on that reno, got them paints and stains. Ship lapping like a boss, you can call me Chip Gaines. My window panes thermal treated for efficiency. They'll pay for themselves by 2043.
I turn a honey-do list into honey done. I can flip a half bath in a half day, son. I'm in the zone, I'm on my grind, and I only had to use YouTube for time.
Dad life, button down, plaid life. What you know about that burger flipping dad life? Telling jokes, Diet Cokes. It ain't a bad life, it's a dad life.
Introducing Young Daddy.
I may be new to the game, but I'm rolling in smooth. Anything is possible. New dad attitude. Crib locked down like it's Fort Knox, baby proof. And you know that food non-GMO.
That's the truth.
Pass on the Mickey D's.
Nope.
Not gonna give them the mac and cheese.
Nuh-uh.
Not gonna give them a sugar drink.
Pass.
I only give them that gluten free.
Uh-huh.
Yes, indeed.
Uh-huh.
Bye bye, baby gift card. Yeah, I'm swiping that. Stinky baby booty, no sweat. Yeah, I'm wiping that.
I'm in grandpa mode, yeah, my kids got kids. I'ma spoil those babies every chance I get. Hit the park, then the zoo on my brand new hip. Last stop, Dairy Queen, get that double dip. They call me Peepaw, and that's a fact to me and Meemaw. Going rogue with the snacks. If you didn't want my grandkids eating the sweets, then you should have thought twice before you left them with me.
I got a smartphone, but I don't know how to use it. Text message font size bigger than a Buick. Saw a funny video, I want to send it to you, but I can't figure out how to get it off the YouTube.
Roll up to the pool, turning heads. I don't even care if I embarrass my kids. Sunbathing, I'm a feast for the senses. Got my glasses on, transitional lenses.
Dad life, no you can't ditch dad life. What you know about that burger flipping dad life? Raising teens, birds and bees. It ain't a bad life, it's a dad life. Hot rods, hot dogs, working on my dad bod. Flexing on the beat in my burger flipping big dogs. Taking naps, CPAPs. It ain't a bad life, it's a dad life.
If you missed the original dad life, go to www.youtube.com/watch?V=D=O=K, the lowercase u, the capital S, a capital Q, a capital I, a capital J, the lowercase L, lowercase O, and lowercase G. It's easy as that.
That last guy, that is me, totally me. All right, number three in the bronze position, salt and light. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." As followers of Jesus, we're supposed to be a salt and light in our communities. And a great example of this is right here in Los Angeles. Some of the LAPD officers in our church work side by side with Dion.
Just one block east of downtown Los Angeles is one of the most dangerous, overlooked, marginalized places in the United States of America, and that's Skid Row. Skid Row is a place where horrible things happen all the time. Women and children are the most vulnerable to the crimes, but you also have gang members and drug dealers who sell drugs near rescue missions and hinder efforts to help people in the area. This is where I work. This is where God called me to be. And I believe that with my whole heart. You know, the reality here is most people don't really like police officers. They're taught to hate us because they feel we're after them because of their social status or race or whatever. It's really hard to meet somebody you really want to help and have them reject you. Some of them hate my guts. And I really, truly, honestly care about them. I try to look at people the way I think God looks at people. And in spite of all our mistakes, God still loves us. So in spite of all the mistakes that a lot of the people in Skid Row have made, I want to show them that I love them and I want to help make their lives better.
You got to get out of your car sometimes, remove your judgmental idea about who people are and what a good person should be, you know, and get out there and get to know these people, because you'll find that even though some of them have a lot of problems, severe problems, mild problems, they're people.
Let me feel it.
Mm-hmm. There you go. That's it. That's the real deal right there. Look at here.
All right.
Officer Deion Joseph, call me Deion.
They're told the police hate you. But I destroy that theory when I get out in that street, because those folks will test you. If you say you care, they're going to hold you up to it. Okay, Joseph, you care? Put me in some housing.
The Deion? Okay.
Yes,
oh,
Deion.
For real?
Yeah. If you're interested in some 90-day housing?
Yes, yes.
Okay. What I want you to do is Thursday, go see my friend. She's a wonderful lady.
Over time, the people see you for who you are, not what you are. They know I'm doing what I'm doing, not to harass them, but because I'm for them.
All right?
We'll do both.
All right, ladies, take care.
All right, thank you.
Hey, how are you? You know, you're a star. How you doing?
Because you love this kid, Robbie.
I do.
Get to know people on an individual basis. I know their names. I know when they've been sober. I know when they're high. People always ask me, how can you work here? How could you sit here all this time? My faith in God is what keeps me from packing up and leaving town. This is my assignment. It's like a driving force that keeps me having faith in this community. You know, that says, don't let him go yet, Deion. Don't let him go.
Wow. That reminds me so much of our local missions team here at Purpose Church. Yahaira, right back here, and Pastor Eric Vasquez, and Nancy Jimenez, and the others. And now we come to number two, silver medal, the ripple effect. And actually, when we started this, I thought this, okay, I shouldn't say, this probably is my number one, okay, for in person or online. I really love this, and you'll recognize it because you've seen it, if you've been around here, a gazillion times. I love this, and to me, this is symbolic of what we're trying to be here at Purpose Church. I believe that only after we get to heaven will we fully appreciate the impact that you have had on other people's lives. You just don't realize it yet because you're not there yet. You impact someone who impacts someone who impacts someone. Even after you die, there's this ripple effect that's going to go on making a difference for eternity. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul shows us the relay race of faith. He says, I, Paul, am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother. There's another good grandmother reference for Grandparents' Day. Your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Do you see that? Paul to Lois, to Eunice, to Timothy. Now, they all knew each other because they were family, but sometimes it happens between total strangers. Let's watch this.
This is Nate. Nate became a Christ follower 2 weeks ago and is still a bit giddy about it, though he's trying not to do cartwheels in public. Nate became a believer partly because of Kim. Yet, oddly enough, Kim and Nate have never met. How is this possible? Well, let's take a look. Kim loved Jesus from an early age, and in college she had a huge impact on her friends. While most of her peers used their college years to, well, experiment, Kim didn't. She remained committed to her faith, and it showed. It especially showed to Lisa, her roommate, who confessed to Kim that she wanted whatever it was that made Kim so strong. Kim shared her faith with Lisa, and Lisa believed. Years later, at Lisa's first real job, she met Thomas. Thomas was hit by a drunk driver when he was 13 and still carried a lot of anger and bitterness. Thomas and Lisa became friends, and it wasn't long before he started going to church with Lisa and her husband. After a lot of studying and searching, Thomas gave his life to Christ. Fast forward a few years. Thomas became a public speaker and was often asked to speak at large events. See, when he became a believer, Thomas developed a new perspective on life. He stopped resenting what had been taken from him and started being thankful for the second chance he had been given. On one particular day, Thomas shared about overcoming hardship and what it means to choose joy. He was so passionate that a number of people were inspired to share a link to his video. The video of Thomas inspired James, too. And if anyone needed inspiration, it was him. James had a ton of issues. He spent most of his life as a passive husband, an absent father, and a horrible friend. That said, no one disliked him more than he disliked himself. But everything changed the night he happened to watch Thomas online. Something clicked and he knew what he had to do. He surrendered his miserable life to someone greater, and he was forever changed. James fought hard to make up for the lost years with his family. And he also began working with young men who were in danger of throwing their lives away. One of those men was Nate. Nate didn't really know his own dad, and he had no real direction in life, ultimately bouncing from one bad decision to another. Because of that, he often found himself in trouble with the law. No one had ever showed him what it looked like to be a real man. That is, until he met James. James became the first father figure Nate ever had. He learned about honesty, self-control, humility, and integrity, and where those traits come from. 2 months later, Nate publicly declared his belief in Christ, and of course, James was there. Now you can see the connection. Nate was impacted by James, who was influenced by Thomas. Thomas saw an uncommon joy in Lisa, who learned of Jesus from Kim. Kim's relationship with God eventually led to Nate's. Funny how these two people have never met. And never will.
I've watched that 100 times, literally. I still get a chill down my spine. And you know, the thing you always want to say is, they won't meet in this life, but they will meet in the next life. And then for the gold medal, number one, the supremacy. Now, I have to admit, probably the thumb was on the scale on this one because we want to end by exalting Jesus. So exalt Jesus, you get a little thumb on the scale for the gold medal position. Colossians 1, Paul writes, "The Son, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy." Shadrach, Meshach, Lockridge. S.M. Lockridge was the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in San Diego from 1953 to 1993. He died in the year 2000. This is the ending to his most famous sermon, "That's My King."
The Bible says my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. Yes, he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah! That's my king. That's my king.
Amen.